Perek Bey's Mishnah Zayin. The Mishnah will inform us that besides setting up the Shabbos lamps, the husband has other responsibilities as well to do in his household before Shabbos begins. And after informing us of the obligation just before the start of Shabbos, the Mishnah will also tell us what types of activities are or not still permitted Bein HaShemashos during twilight. Bein HaShemashos is the time between Shkia, between sunset, and Tetzav Kochavim, when the stars have come out, then it's quite dark outside. And during this twilight time, during this time that is described as Safek Yom, Safek Laila, we are in doubt whether it is day or night. It's questionable if Shabbos has legally begun or not. For certain matters, we'll take the stringent approach and we'll prohibit certain things to be done. And other items we will permit to be taken care of during the time of Bein HaShemashos during twilight. Mishnah begins. Shlosha dvarim tzarech adam lamar besoch beso erev Shabbos im chashecha. A man must say three things in his home on Friday afternoon before it gets dark, before the sun sets. First one, Yisartem, have you taken off Maaser? Hey, Raftem, have we made the Eruv? There are two types of Eruvim. The first one is called Eruv Chatzeros. The second is called Eruv Techumin. These two types of Eruv Techumin and Eruv Chatzeros are needed in order to ensure that a person is able to carry in various locations. Eruv Techumin refers to an act in which we actually take two different meals. It's placed before Shabbos begins, at the end of the Tchum Shabbos, at the end of 2,000 amos from where a person resides. So you'll be able to walk from that place another 2,000 amos in any direction. Eruvei Chatzeros refers to the act which all residents in one courtyard, in a chatzer, place some food, again before Shabbos starts, in one of the houses, and therefore the food is intermingled all together, and everyone, it's as if everyone has joint ownership over the foods. Everybody, therefore, shall we say, in all this chatzar, and all this whole courtyard, really belong in one happy family, and therefore it would permit a person to carry from his house into this courtyard, or to bring something in from the courtyard into one's home. Without this act of Eruvei Chatzeros, one would not be permitted to carry from a more public courtyard shared by a few people into a private home. And if one does not set up this Eruv Techumin, he would not be allowed to walk more than 2,000 amos, approximately 1,000 meters, outside of one's area of residence. The third thing that a person must inquire about, the first two statements, I guess, are more like questions. This third one, Hadliku et Tener, is more like a command. It's said in the infinitive. The reason why this is like a statement, Hadliku et Tener, is perhaps because the first two, there really isn't any proof if it was done or not. We don't know what's going out 2,000 amos from where a person resides. You don't know, maybe there's food given in someone else's courtyard. When it comes to a Hadliku et Tener, that a person could see in his own home if it was done or not. And therefore, a husband is urging the household members, in particular Hadliku et Tener to his wife, to ensure the Shabbos candles, which of course are there to promote Shalom Bayis, were taken care of and are taken care of before Shabbos actually begins. These three things were derived from a pasuk actually in Iyov in Parakeh in the fifth chapter. Pasuk says, "V'yadata ki shalom olacha ufakanata noach v'lo techte." And the Rif there explains that these three things, "V'yadata ki shalom olacha," is referring to near Shabbos because it brings shalom bayis, it means tranquility to one's home. Ufakanata noach, that refers to the Eruv, because now a person is able to carry from one area, from one home to another. Lo techte, a person will not come to sin. This chazal derived to mean, referring to maaser, the person cannot eat anything that was not tithed on Shabbos. Mishnah continues, Safek Hashecha, Safek Ein Hashecha, Ein Masrin Esar Vadai, Ein Matbilin Esar Kelim, Ein Madlikin Esar Neros, Aval, Asrin Esar Dmai, Arvin, Vetonin Es Hachamin. If during this time of Ben Hashmashos, during this time of Shkia, Tetzeta Kochavim, during the time of twilight, it is not yet 100% darkness. The darkness has not ensued. During this time period, a person would be forbidden to be mafrish meiser. A person would not be able to tithe foods that for sure were not tithe yet. Chachamim made gzera that a person could not tithe on Shabbos. Therefore, you would not be able to do it even ben shmashos. Yimatbilin as a kelim. A person would not be allowed to immerse kelim into a mikvah even during the time of ben shmashos. For sure, on Shabbos itself, even ben shmashos would render a kli, a vessel made by a non-Jew usable to a Jew. You cannot do this on Shabbos. And the third thing, yimatbilin as a neros, a person is not allowed to light to the one's lamp, one's Shabbos lamp, during this time period either. Perhaps there are those who say that the reason why Mishnah uses the word imadlikin es haneros, it should be obvious. What do you mean? Of course a person cannot light their Shabbos candles during this time period. And this is Doraisa. For those who in fact want to explain, no, that's for sure a person could not do. We never even think for a moment that would be permitted. But perhaps, what is the Rabbana, what is the rabbinic concern here? Even to tell a non-Jew to kindle one's lamp would be forbidden during the time of Ben Hashmashos, even though asking a non-Jew to perform a malacha is only an Isser de Rabbanan, it is forbidden, just like these other two Isurei de Rabbanan are forbidden to do during Ben Hashmashos, that is Masrin Asa Adai, that is taking the tithing of the foods, and immersing kelim into a mikvah, and asking a non-Jew to light one's Shabbos candles. These three rabbinic prohibitions are even forbidden to do during the time of twilight on a Friday evening. However, during this time of Ben Hashmashos, one would be permitted to ma'aser, to tithe demai, to tithe foods which we are unsure that they were purchased from a simpleton, from one's local farmer. We are unsure if they were tithed properly or not. It's a suffix. We are in doubt if they were tithed properly. And therefore, Chachamim allowed one to tithe these foods which we suspect might not have been tithed properly, as opposed to before we know for sure they were not tithed properly. That is forbidden. The foods which we are unsure, Chazal permitted one to tithe during the time of Ben Hashmashos. Also, one would be permitted to ma'arev the eruv, the eruv v'chetzeros. A person would be allowed to arrange the eruv chetzeros, the courtyard, and ensure that we are all almost like one happy family. We're all really carrying one's possessions or items from the courtyard into one's home or vice versa. To arrange for that, be permitted to do during Ben Hashmashos. And the third thing to be permitted to do during Ben Hashmashos, according to the Mishnah, is tonin esachamin. One would be permitted to envelope, to wrap up food that's taken off the fire, as long as the item that a person is enveloping, wrapping up these foods, are not mosif hevel, do not increase the heat, one would be permitted to surround and envelope these foods even during Ben Hashmashos. However, once it is for sure dark outside, a person would not be allowed to be matmin. A person would not be allowed to envelope one's food items, because it's a gzera shema yachta v'gecholim mishatichshach. A person, once it's for sure Shabbos, a person might be worried they will come to, in fact, do something which would be forbidden to speed up the cooking process, because they want to have hot, fully caught and cooked food on Shabbos itself. But during Ben Hashmashos, since we're generally referring to foods, pots that are in fact already hot, they're just taken off the fire, we are not worried. We won't be permitted to envelope them during this time of Ben Hashmashos, again, as long as it is not with items that do not increase the heat, just maintain the temperature. Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph. Although back in the first parak we learned that the many activities that can be started just before the start of Shabbos, leaving food on the stove to keep cooking is different. The reason is because on Friday night a person may be concerned that when Shabbos food, which is on the stove, is not cooking well, and you might accidentally come and unintentionally stoke the coals beneath the food. And therefore, the rabbis, Chachamim, made a decree and arranged certain precautions that must be done to the stove before the beginning of Shabbos in order to prevent stoking the coals. Shema, Yachta B'Gachalim, beneath the partially pre-cooked. That is the introduction to this Mishnah, and that will help us really serve as introduction for the next few Mishnayos. So, Kira Shusikuha Vakash Vigvava. A Kira is a double stove that was actually heated with straw or with twigs. Nosening Alaha Tavshil. On Erev Shabbos, one would be allowed to place a partially cooked food on it. Why? So the commentaries explain they produce very little ash, and because of that, a person will not become tempted to stir the ashes in order to maintain the heat. However, if this kira was heated with gefes, with pulp, so from pressed olives or sesame seeds, with an etzim or with wood, both of which do leave over a little bit of ash. Lo yitein ad sheyigro. We will not be allowed to place this cooked food on it until one has swept away all of the coals. O ad sheyitein esefer, until one has put ashes over them as a reminder, which serves as a reminder not to stir. And today that is why we use what is called a blech, a piece of metal which goes over the elements on one's stone. Again, what are we concerned about? We're concerned about shehiyah. We're worried about leaving the food on one's stove before Shabbos starts, and we're worried that a person might come to speed up the cooking process. And therefore, foods which are not completely cooked before Shabbos cannot be left in just a regular manner. But takana, we need to fix. We need to make some amendments to certain stoves and under certain conditions in order to allow one's food to be placed on the oven and sit there into the beginning of Shabbos. And in fact, just to clarify, not just foods which are not completely cooked, but even foods whose flavor will become improved by this additional cooking, or by potential additional cooking. Technically speaking then, food which is not cooked at all, which is raw, or foods whose flavor will actually diminish, will be harmed by additional cooking, may be left on the stove. What is considered something which is cooked is worthwhile mentioning. Food which is considered cooked is machal ben drusai, has been cooked enough for a certain bandit, but he, shall we say, was on the run. He wouldn't need to eat food that was fully cooked. He needed to go pulverize various villages to grab food on the run. Exactly what amount of cooking, of cooked food, what percentage of cooking this is referring to is unclear. But nonetheless, it is considered cooked if it is either a quarter or a third cooked. That would be sufficient for our bandit, Ben Drusai, to grab the food on the run. Food which is either completely cooked, sufficiently cooked, or food which, if left on the stove, on the oven, will actually deteriorate. We are not worried that someone will come to rate the coals because a person's attention has been totally diverted from the food, and therefore a person will not hasten its cooking. B'shamay Omrim Chamin. The Shammai says only hot water can be left on the stove, since hot water doesn't benefit from the extra heating. Avalo tavshu, but not cooked food, which can still benefit from extra heat. Beis Hillel says chamin v'savshu. Beis Hillel says both hot water and cooked food can in fact be left on the stove top. What are they arguing over? The Shammai is saying that only hot water can be put on the stove even after he has raked it or has put ashes on the coals in order to leave the water on the stove on Shabbos. Because the water requires no further boiling, and we're not worried that a person might come to rake the coals. But food, even though he already raked out the coals or placed ashes in the coals, the Shammai is very machmir, he's very stringent, that even cooked food becomes usher to leave there on Shabbos. Why? Because it appears, according to Beis Shammai, it's impossible to completely rake out all the coals. And therefore, maybe, perhaps, a person will want to have the food cooked a little more. And even if there's a little bit left, they might come to hasten the cooking of the food. Beis Hillel, however, whether it's food or there's hot water, can be put on the stove and leave them there over Shabbos. Because after a person has raked the coals, after this person has placed the ashes down, we no longer fear that he might rake out a couple of coals that remain on Shabbos. Shamarim notlim avalo machzirim ubeis hilalomrim af machzirim. Here we are dealing with another situation. This is referred to as chazara. Once a person, according to Beis Shammai, has taken from the stove this hot water, which is permitted to be left there, once it has been removed, one could not put it back onto the stove. Why? Because it would seem as if this person was reboiling it on Shabbos. Beis Hillel, however, says, no. Doesn't make a difference if the hot water or the food, a person would be permitted to place it back on the stove. Again, you remove the ashes, you still got the coals. Beis Hillel says one would be permitted to return the food or the water back to this oven on condition, stipulates Beis Hillel, on condition that it is still in his hand. He did not place them on the ground. He did not set them aside. He did not, shall we say, cast them away, saying, okay, I'm finished. I no longer require this to be placed on the oven. And once a person does that, then one would not be allowed to put it back on the oven. If it still remains in his hand, or if the intention is just to, for a brief moment, to put it down, one would be allowed to put it back on the stove. There's another way to interpret this Mishnah. What we've said so far is based on the Bar Tanura, based on the Rambam and the Rif. Rashi and Tosos, however, seem to interpret this Mishnah a little differently. In their opinion, the Mishnah follows Hananya, who explains somewhere in the Gemara that food, Macha ben Drusai, food that has been partially cooked, either a third, according to the Rambam, possibly a half, cooked, can be left on the stove, even though the person had neither raked the coals, or place ashes on the coals. Based on this, Rashi and Tosfos interpret the first section of the Mishnah, referring to a case of not shihya, not food being left on the oven, on the stove, but rather a case of chazara, where a person is coming to replace and put back this pot on Shabbos. And they explain as the following. That akira, which is heated with the straw, the kira, which is heated with this pulp or with this wood, may be allowed to return to chazara of food on Shabbos. However, if such a oven is heated with the pulp, with gefes, ube'itim, or with wood, person may not do chazar, may not return the food to the oven unless you rake out the coals or place ashes on it. According to this interpretation, the second half of the Mishnah reads as follows: Mishame omrim notlim avalo machzirim uveisel omrim af machzirim. That is a case of the halacha of chazara, the law of replacing, which was really taught at the beginning of the Mishnah is not according to our opinion, but rather is also subject to a machlokes in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai says a person is notling, a person may take it, but cannot return it, cannot do chazara. According to Beis Hillel, a person may even do chazara in such an oven.